Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
I leave for like 2 days and every part of my basketball game is on here getting slandered on these airwaves. Janae Golic Jr.
You have more than one part? Yeah, continue. Sorry.
I mean, listen, I have both picks and some tough rebounds, and eventually I will also get like a putback by the basket just through sheer effort. That feels like enough.
So you're Andre Drummond. I love it. Here. Yeah.
And you know
championship
what?
Piece.
Exactly. Janae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Janae Agumake. Not everybody can be out here averaging like 28 and 12 before they leave Stanford here, dropping buckets everywhere. Some of us have to get by on effort and enthusiasm, Janae, and I feel like that's my role in all this.
Proud of you. Proud of you for knowing that.
We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We'll talk to June Lee, our ESPN MLB writer, in about a half hour here. We were excited to talk to June for a number of reasons. There's certainly been controversial calls over the weekend calling into question Major League Baseball's
statement
of the century in this one.
They've been struggling.
It just makes me think of DeAndre Jordan in one of those we've been robbed. That's how the folks in Braves uniforms had to feel over this weekend. With their game against the Phillies, we know our crew around here very happy about that. But a lot of things calling into question Major League Baseball's replay policy. But, Janae, we know this has now taken a decidedly different turn in the conversation around Major League Baseball and in sports, as you've heard in the updates and throughout the day-to-day. The Minnesota Twins, the Minnesota Timberwolves, and the Minnesota Wild have all postponed games today following the police shooting of Dante Wright on Sunday night. A statement from the Twins, this is again courtesy of June Lee on ESPN.com, quote, out of respect for the tragic events that occurred yesterday in Brooklyn Center, which for everyone is near St. Paul in Minnesota, and following additional details in this evolving situation, the Minnesota Twins have decided it is best interest of our fans, staff, players, and community to not play today's game. That announcement came. They were slated to play the Red Sox. They had actually already warmed up, I believe, on the field, and the national anthem had even played before that game was postponed. We know that the Brooklyn Nets were supposed to play the Timberwolves. That game postponed in a statement from the NBA. So, Janae, we've seen a swift response to a situation that, as we talked to Myron Metcalf earlier about, and if anyone missed that, you can check it out on the podcast, one of our great ESPN radio hosts and writers here, just talking about the exhaustion in that state and the swift response from these sports teams and these leagues, Chiney, at least to me, demonstrates some understanding of what the players and what people around this state have been making abundantly clear for longer than the last year, but maybe have been listened to for the first time in a real way in the last year.
Exactly, and why tired, why exhausted, why shocked, and those are the words that Myron Metcalf, our ESPN radio host and a columnist for the Star Tribune, said. Those are the things that he's feeling, and he's not alone. Well, that's because, as Junior mentioned, Dante Wright, 20-year-old black man in the St. Paul, Minnesota community, police shooting involving him and tragically lost his life. This is the same week in which Derek Chauvin, the officer that is currently on trial after George Floyd, assessing accountability and the situation that transpired a year ago. And this is also coming off of the same weekend where a number of people had seen video clips of an Army Lieutenant Karan Nazario, who was handcuffed in uniform, doused with pepper spray, all during a traffic stop that was deemed controversial, some allege illegal. And so there are a number of things that a lot of communities are seeing. And if you have not seen it, I hope that you seek it out so that you can be aware of what people are experiencing and try to at least hopefully empathize with this community that is still trying to find, resolution as it's undergoing the trial process for George Floyd. Now another young black man has been shot, and it's tragic. In the meantime, we're seeing other videos that sort of trigger the same type of feelings and emotions, and it's just difficult. And that's why these postponements are being had, because now, we sort of are having a heightened awareness of what is going on amongst our communities, no matter what you look like, and how we should stand together in these moments, or at least take a beat, pause, and try to move forward as we collect our thoughts. Because these athletes, these coaches, will have to step to a microphone, and that is a privilege and a responsibility, and it takes time to understand exactly what you're going to say and also what you can do to hopefully make this community a better place and heal. And this community has not found that ability yet, and it's just hard on all parties.
We'll see what the response continues to look like from that state, some of the athletes, and leagues beyond. We'll talk to June Lee again in about 20 minutes, who is a part of breaking some of this news and reporting what's gone on in the state of Minnesota relative to sports. It's Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chinay Agwumike, as we certainly keep you up to date on that information. We know we're also getting closer and closer on the NFL side of things and the normal sports side of things to the upcoming NFL draft. And Chinay, we've spent so much time with these quarterbacks, it feels like ad nauseum we've been stuck on the quarterback. It's, you know what, and you figured out, Chinay, how messy draft season can get, how messy mock draft season can get around these parts.
I trust you. I'm so lucky to work with you, Junior. You know, college football analyst in the trenches as an offensive lineman. I am trusting you because so many people change their minds, but you've been consistent. Continue.
And Chinay, that's what I'm going to try and do here. Like, I just want to try and level us all out here because I love getting spicy with the draft takes. It's a great time in here, but we got to be careful because we're getting closer and closer. We've used up most of the normal ones, and so we're starting to hear some stuff that's going to sound pretty wild at first. And so when I first heard this on Darian Mel, which is a great program on ESPN Radio you can check out every weekend here, I heard this from someone who is very credentialed in the NFL. When I heard this originally, I thought my head was going to blow up. I think cooler heads are going to prevail here. We're going to help you understand why. We're going to come in hot.
Your team got you down.
It's very sad and very frustrating.
We got you.
Because now is your time.
It is an absolute abomination.
Coming in hot with Chinay and Golic Jr.
Coming in hot's brought to you by Fidelity Investment. So, Chinay, Randy Mueller was a former NFL Executive of the Year back in 2000 with the New Orleans Saints. He was most recently a director of pro personnel for the Houston Roughnecks in the XFL. He went on with Darian Mel this weekend and talked about Zach Wilson and Trevor Lawrence. And here was his assessment about how Zach Wilson may actually be in some ways more pro-ready right now than the presumed number one overall pick.
I just think he's further along in a pro scheme of development. He's going to throw people open. He throws a lot of balls that I think Trevor Lawrence will be able to throw and physically can throw them. In that system at Clemson, he just hasn't been forced to make those. So I just see a little more instinctive, ready to go right now in Zach Wilson. But I also think Trevor Lawrence has more upside, like I said, because of the physical skill set.
Okay. So I'm going to try and remain calm when talking about this, Chinay.
Don't do
because,
it.
Again, this is a respected NFL person here in Randy Mueller. But I will say this, he got the last part right, in that in addition to actually being more ready now to go into the NFL, Trevor Lawrence also has a ton more upside than someone like Zach Wilson because of all the physical gifts. Anything you can do, Trevor Lawrence can do better in this spot. That should be your number one rule for this year's draft class. Yes, there are things that we can look at in his game that are problematic, Chinay, that might need a little bit of work, but they're so few and far between. They're so nitpicky in these spots. I look at him and say, yeah, that Clemson offense held him back. Yes, he had great athletes, but he was rarely protected in the way that some of his counterparts were, especially the ones at Alabama, especially the one in Zach Wilson at BYU, who worked behind an elite meat shield against lesser competition in these spots. There is nothing that Zach Wilson can do on a football field, Chinay, that I don't believe that Trevor Lawrence can do better. And going in pro-ready right now with the leader he's been and the program he's been at the helm of for the last 3 years that we've known versus Zach Wilson, who threw the 1 year in an offense that did him way more favors with the way that it was structured against competition that we know was going to challenge him way less in that spot. I just cannot buy that he is more ready to come in and handle everything. Yes, Zach Wilson has some unique gifts, Chinay, but no, I do not believe in any way. And truthfully, I don't believe that Randy Mueller believes that he is a better number one overall pick right now. But I think you can look at what he played in and see some of the things he's talking about. But ultimately, I couldn't disagree with more.
Yeah, so what really makes you mad about this whole conversation, Junior? What frustrates you about, you know, these type of takes?
That we just, right now, I understand it feels like we've slotted a lot of these things to happen. I think Zach Wilson and that number two overall pick are a thing we're going to be talking about more and more because we have kind of decided on the outside. Mock draft world has decided on the outside that that's a foregone conclusion in a way that I don't think is going to happen. But to say that because, all right, the offense that Trevor ran at Clemson isn't necessarily one that emulates the pro game in a lot of ways or offered him those same protections.
But the competition he dealt with does.
That's the part that I just can't get over here, Chinay, is that especially the protection. Trevor Lawrence was a guy that at times had people breathing down his neck in a way that Zach Wilson could not have dreamed of out at BYU. And we're all of a sudden going to use that as an indictment or say that he is more pro-ready. No, the offense that he was in did some more things to help him. Quite frankly, I would have loved to have seen what Trevor Lawrence would have looked like in an offense that was shifting, moving, motioning, and getting guys open as often as the one that he worked with Zach Wilson in BYU. But we didn't get that. Instead, what we've got is a 6'4" Teflon quarterback that played for Clemson that is ready. He's good to go, and we need to not overthink this too much.
Elite meat.
Elite Meat Shield. Meat Shield.
That was great. That's what I meant, yeah.
Elite Meat Shield in that spot. And worth noting, and this is going to come up again later, Chinee, because I heard something from Josh McCown earlier on ESPN Radio with Greeny talking about the assessment of drafting quarterbacks at all, what we deal with in the top end of the draft. Jeremy Schapp mentioned this over the weekend on Outside the Lines. We understand. It's okay to question certain things, but we have to question the right things, and we'll get to why some of those misses came up.
I was impressed with that. I was impressed with the Elite Meat Shield. Like, that was a creative one, very on brand.
Shield, meat shield.
Yes,
we're talking
you
about
get what I was
here.
Saying.
Absolutely. Listen, we got love for the big boys around.
Did we dump
this
on
show.
Me? No, we didn't.
No, I can say not this time. Although we have a proud history and proud tradition of that here
okay.
on Chinee.
Yeah,
Angle
not just
Jr.
me. We're like even on the dump button. But go ahead.
Exactly. All right. Coming up next. We will head back to the court. We will try and figure out what to make of the latest with Kyrie Irving, going to be out again before their game was postponed tonight, was supposed to be out with personal reasons. This is something that's happened on more than a few occasions now in this NBA season. At what point does this become something that the Nets are going to have to reckon with? We'll get to that next. Chinee Golick Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chinee Golick Jr., the podcast.
Chinee Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, offering coverage options as unique as your business. Progressive covers companies of many sizes and specialties. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com. Every once in a while, we mess up around here, but we have each other's back. That's
what do you
the
mean messing
part.
Up? I didn't mess up. I just was complimenting how creative you were with your vernacular when describing the offensive protection or the lack thereof for Trevor Lawrence. And you said elite meat, and I couldn't remember the final word. And so you provided the word shield.
I could say that teamwork. Was essentially our Dwayne Wade to LeBron alley-oop right there. That
yeah,
was all that
precisely.
Was.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But great, great. I love your colorful language. Good job.
Well, listen, my love language is offensive line play and everything associated with
and
it.
And food.
And food, I can say, and how it affects quarterbacks. So it all ties together, and we'll have plenty more to get to on that. We'll have plenty of updates on the halt in play in professional sports in the state of Minnesota tonight. Again, the Twins, the Wild, and the Timberwolves all postponing games as a result of a shooting in Minnesota on Sunday, a police shooting that we saw. We're going to talk to June Lee in just a little bit. Again, that shooting of Dante Wright, 20-year-old black man, at the hands of police officers in Minnesota, affecting now the world of sports, in addition to, as we talked about earlier, all of the people already who have had this fresh wound reopened. June Lee going to be kind enough to join us. He was a part of breaking some of this news, especially as it related to Major League Baseball. But before we get back to these very serious things happening off the court, off the field right now, Chinee, I'm curious, we've talked about this before so many times. You're someone who's gotten to know Kyrie Irving in ways that 99% of the rest of us in the population will never get to. His name was in the news yet again, coming off this weekend where he's ejected from a game following an altercation with Dennis Schroeder against the Lakers. And then it was announced that he would be missing the Brooklyn Nets' upcoming game, the one that was supposed to take place tonight, due to personal reasons. We've seen this pop up time and time again, Chinee. We don't know what's gone into these decisions, but we know that they've been frequent. And so I ask you, as someone who's still in a professional locker room right now with the Los Angeles Sparks, when things like this happen, how does it affect the other team? How are other players digesting watching someone on their team not have to or not be around, not able to be around in the same ways they are?
Did you see the Lakers stars on the sideline when they were beating the Brooklyn Nets? They were living their best lives. And while Kyrie Irving might be taking breaks for personal reasons, for right reasons, or, you know, mental health, you know, for him to make it through a season, because I think a lot of people are starting to realize this is a man that wears his heart on his sleeve, and it's hard for him to compartmentalize a lot of things happening in society and also go out there and do a job where sports, when you compare those two things, relatively don't matter nearly as much. He's just built that way, and that's what makes him relatable to a lot of young fans of the game, so, because it's like the same Kyrie Irving that will go out there and dance on the court literally on opponents and get buckets is the same Kyrie Irving that will give kids that are looking for, you know, trying to sell chocolates, you know, all of the money in his pocket before he heads to a game. So it's hard to turn it on and off. And I think that's what Kyrie Irving sort of shows, that human aspect that makes it difficult to try to, you know, deal with being a professional athlete, but also having a greater calling. But at the same time, you have a job to do. And so, you know, while a lot of people a week ago with Kevin Durant returning, knowing that James Harden, you know, 10-day hiatus or 10-day break, you know, trying to rehabilitate that hamstring, you get Blake Griffin, you get LaMarcus Aldridge, you have all these amazing pieces. If you still don't have that continuity, that's a risk. So when a lot of people were saying, oh, the Nets are a lock, I was like, hold up a second, because this is a very unique cast of characters. Now, I think push comes to shove. There's a reason why after the first family, you know, matter, he came back, because he loves the game and he wants to be there. But, you know, opponents aren't going to wait. They're not going to wait. They're going to keep going at this team the same way that, you know, when the Warriors, their dynasty finished, everyone wants to beat the Warriors now, right? Because they are the team that everyone talks about. So it's like as talented as this team is, you still just have to wait and see when all of their players are out there and do it consistently before you can even say, all right, they're going to win a championship, because other teams will seize the day.
Chiney, I look at these situations, and usually when it comes to star players, because I remember how it was in the locker room, we're all treated fairly, but that doesn't mean we're all treated the same in these spots. You get different late, you get a different length to go when you are someone that has a bigger paycheck and a bigger skill set than most. But like you said, I'm sure there are other players on this team. I'm sure there are other very good players on this team that are going through things off the court and say, I'm still showing up for this team in the spots that are needed. I don't think it's going to matter until we get to the postseason. If we see some falter then, and all of a sudden Kyrie wants to speak up and be a leader if he hasn't been around as much, I could see that being an issue. Is there anything else you see this potentially having an effect on with this team in that locker room dynamic, knowing what's at play here?
No. None.
Well, you know what, Chiney, that's going to be the interesting part, because we don't value the regular season. That's become abundant to everyone in this spot. But do you not think if it comes time in the playoffs and you're in a huddle in a key moment and Kyrie Irving maybe hadn't been around to that, or maybe it hasn't played like that, and he tries to speak up all of a sudden, you don't think some guys are going to look at him sideways?
No, not at all.
Like it hasn't happened before?
No, they're going to be taking their L's, because, you, like you said, there's a pecking order to this. And as much as, you know, Kyrie may be in and out, when he is in there, when he is on the court, my goodness. Did you see the highlights of Kyrie Irving floating around the internet this weekend? Him dancing with the ball? Turner, like, what? This guy is special. It's crazy. And yeah, you know, I think at times you have to know that, you know, everybody has a time and place and a role. But like Kyrie Irving is understood by Kevin Durant, is understood by James Harden. And honestly, that's what matters most, because that big three plus Blake and LaMarcus, who already understand why they're there to sort of ride the coattails of this championship and also provide this big three, you know, as well. Like, I think they all know who each other are. They're perfectly imperfect, but it will be a challenge to keep them all together, because guess what? We have yet to see that, Junior.
LaMarcus knows he's not there to play defense. We know that very much for sure after this game this weekend. Reminder, though, and this just into us right now, something to keep an eye on as we talk about what we're going to get to next with June Lee. The Minnesota Timberwolves president of basketball operation, Gerson Rosas, is going to join Spain and Fitz, Sarah Spain and Courtney Cronin, in for Jason Fitz tonight at 8:30 Eastern to discuss the Timberwolves' decision to cancel their game and the reaction to the latest incidents in Minneapolis. So 8:30 Eastern. President of basketball operations for the Timberwolves, Gerson Rosas, going to join Spain and Fitz on ESPN Radio. Make sure you check that out. But coming up next, we'll check in with June Lee, because the Twins also postponed their games, one of the first to do so in the response to the Dante Wright shooting in Minnesota. We'll get to that all after this word from Angie.
Now, clearly, this is all about the summertime on this show, and we're trying to get our bodies summer ready. But are you trying to get your home summer ready? You know, cleaning the gutters and windows, patching up the fence, mowing the lawn. Then you need Angie, the one-stop shop for all of your home projects. Angie makes taking care of those home projects a breeze. In just a few taps in the Angie app, or a few clicks on the site, you can connect to local pros for your specific project, or you can even buy and schedule a service. All you have to do is tell them what you need, and they'll take care of the rest, from small repairs to major remodels. With over 230,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, find, and hire pros, and buy home services to ensure a job well done. They have clear upfront pricing on hundreds of products, allowing you to see what the cost of your project will be ahead of time. Angi even has cost guides that tell you what others have paid for similar projects, both nationally and in your area. So whether you're a renter looking for moving help or a homeowner with a leaky roof, make sure you turn to Angi with confidence. Angi, your home for everything. Postponements in the world of sports after, unfortunately, another police shooting in Minnesota put a lot of teams on pause, especially in that area. We'll get back to that right after this on Shanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus.
Shanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Shanae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80. Mike Golic Jr., Shanae Agwumike. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline, and that's where we head now. You heard it on the SportsCenter update from Christine Lisi, but the sports world, especially in Minnesota, responding to the police shooting of 20-year-old Dante Wright in Minnesota. And for more on the decisions made by certain leagues around this instance, we head to the Goodyear Hotline to talk to our ESPN writer and Major League Baseball writer, June Lee, kind enough to join us here and give us a few minutes. And June, we know that you've been helping put out a lot of the information, keep people up to date on this. So what can you tell us about the timeline? The Minnesota Twins were supposed to play the Red Sox tonight. What can you tell us about the timeline around the decision that was made to ultimately not play this game?
Yeah, so, I mean, as of last night and as of this morning, both teams were expecting to play the game today, although Red Sox manager Alex Cora said that last night when he saw the news that he thought that this could be a possibility, but there wasn't word from anyone that this was actually going to happen, that the Twins were actually going to postpone the game. And so, you know, full stop. I mean, if you turn on the television, the national anthem had played, guys were warming up on the field, the pitchers were in the bullpen getting ready to start, and Rocco Baldelli, the Minnesota Twins manager, walks over to the Red Sox dugout and tells Alex Cora that the game wasn't happening that night. And so all the teams are, you know, the Red Sox are back at their hotel, and the guys are supposed to not leave their hotel rooms tonight. And, you know, I had a league source tell me that there were, you know, quote-unquote safety concerns over this, but obviously the circumstances of what happened last night in Minnesota are incredibly concerning. I mean, there's players now. Aaron Hicks of the Yankees decided to not play in today's game for his team because of the shooting of Dante Wright. And so this is continuing to develop, but it feels like, at least in the baseball world, kind of another step forward of, you know, baseball just continuing to acknowledge the state of the racial climate in this country, which I think has been kind of a touchy issue in regards to whether or not baseball has been kind of sensitive to these kinds of things in the past.
Shanae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, speaking with June Lee, ESPN MLB reporter. And June, you just highlighted the reason that sort of they decided to postpone was safety and circumstances, considering what the community could be experiencing. But other than that, like, how has that decision to postpone sort of affected other major leaguers?
Yeah, I mean, I think Aaron Hicks is kind of one of those guys that kind of speaks loudly to the minds of a lot of black players right now. I mean, we saw, after everything that happened last year in the social uprising, you know, there was a lot of instances of players deciding not to play because of the circumstances, especially after multiple shootings last summer. And so I think we're kind of starting to continue to see that. You know, Jordan Carlos, stand of the Yankees, who's also black, you know, he mentioned that he's still considering whether or not he's going to play in today's game. And so, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we see more players opt out as the night kind of rolls on and we see what happens as the night unfolds in Minnesota.
June, you mentioned what went on in Georgia with Major League Baseball's All-Star Game, with the draft being moved there, and the rest of us were surprised by this. Have you heard anything from Major League Baseball players about the league's decisions now starting to add up of being more proactive than we've been used to in these spots?
Yeah, I think there was just generally surprise on both sides of kind of the political spectrum across Major League Baseball that MLB kind of proactively went out and did this. And of course, from a cynical perspective, like, this is at least in part, and probably in major part, a business decision. Delta, Coca-Cola were all kind of putting pressure on Major League Baseball to make some sort of move here, given the circumstances of the voting rights laws in Georgia. And so I think that we're just kind of continuing to see this kind of stuff unfold. And
I think it's kind of emblematic of just the public opinion shift, because there is advertisers and major corporations behind this. It's a reflection of where the American public and the culture stands right now, because at the end of the day, I think we're starting to see this kind of slow incremental shift where for a lot of these businesses, and Major League Baseball is included in that, at a point not that long ago, it wasn't financially incentivized to do things like this. And now it is. And so I think that by itself kind of shows this kind of cultural shift that we're seeing undergoing in this country right now.
And what's fascinating, June, in your reporting is that it highlights the synergy in the decisions of these leagues, especially what's happening in Minnesota between the Twins, the Timberwolves, and the Wild. How did that come to be?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is just emblematic of just where this country is right now. I mean, the fact of the matter is, you know, we have one of the most high-profile trials in the country in recent United States history, happening with Derek Chauvin getting charged for murdering George Floyd, and so this is just emblematic of I think the cultural tide and how corporations in general, but also sports leagues, now seem to find it to be necessary, whether that's from a cultural maintaining fans perspective or from a business perspective, to, you know, make public stances like this. And I think it's emblematic of where we are as a country. But at the end of the day, we don't know what's going to happen in this trial. And I know that a lot of people, there is a lot of evidence pointing in one direction. But at the end of the day, history says that, justice often isn't served in these police shootings. And so it's going to be very, very interesting to see, especially as we see a decision in this case, whether or not just how the world reacts and also how the sports world reacts to the world reacting.
Jhené Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, talking to ESPN writer June Lee on the Goodyear Hotline. And June, we talked about the MLB, some of the corporate reasons why these things might be happening, but you also wrote an article in somewhat of a different sense in the on-field culture of Major League Baseball, which used to fit into one very specific purview and now has one where a new generation of stars and stars that don't look necessarily like the sport used to look in a lot of ways are now taking over and pushing those boundaries. Do you think that younger stars, stars with different backgrounds, stars from minority backgrounds are forwarding or advancing the ball on this discussion and the priorities of Major League Baseball because they've now taken over this way?
100%, because the marketing aspect of this, the business aspect of this, is tied together both on the field and off the field, and how Major League Baseball is trying to portray themselves politically to its fans and where they stand in terms of the issues and how that benefits their bottom line. And so if you just look at the faces of baseball right now, a couple years ago it was Bryce Harper, Mike Trout, and Rob Manfred was going out of his way to criticize Mike Trout for not marketing himself when that wasn't within Mike Trout's authentic personality to do that. And now we're seeing guys who are showcased, whether that's Fernando Tatis Jr. bat flipping on the cover of MLB The Show, to Ronald Acuna Jr., who is hitting bombs and bat flipping and beating out routine grounders for infield singles. Guys like Tim Anderson, guys like Juan Soto. These are now kind of the new faces of baseball. I think MLB, for the first time in its history, is putting its massive marketing money power behind a group of minority players that have a diverse range of personalities. And I think that is emblematic of not just where baseball is, but where the country is kind of headed from a demographic perspective. And on top of all of that, baseball's biggest growing fan demographic right now is women. And women want to be invested in the personal stories of a lot of these players. And, at the end of the day, there's a lot of multiculturalism in baseball, and there's a lot of interesting stories within baseball. And the only way for that to happen is for MLB to showcase kind of this, what makes them different, which is their multicultural personalities.
It's great stuff. You can check it out on ESPN.com. Again, June Lee writing about the unwritten rules are made to be broken. A new generation of Major League Baseball players taking center stage. June, we appreciate the time and the insight on all of this. I know it's been a busy afternoon. Thanks for giving us some time.
Thanks for having me on.
ESPN writer June Lee, kind enough to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. All right, coming up next, you didn't think we could actually make it through a Monday without dipping into a tried and true classic from the Sports Talk Radio Hall of Fame track list here. Let's play a game. Is blank a Hall of Famer? A new challenger has entered the arena. We will tell you who and why the answer is no next. But first, Come hang out with us. Jhené Golic Jr. We got a virtual Q&A coming up where you can get genuine reactions like that from our very own Jhené Ogwumike in advance of the NFL draft. Join us Tuesday, April 13th at 8 p.m. Eastern as we hop on a Zoom and answer your questions. Registration is free, but space is limited, so you got to register now at bit.ly/CGJ421. That's all lowercase, bit.ly/CGJ421, all lowercase. And when you register, be sure to submit your questions about the draft, the Bachelor, Hall of Famers, basketball, eating, meat slabs, anything, all the above. We got you on this one. For a chance, we'll even give you a shout out. We'll answer the question live during the event. Again, that's Tuesday, April 13th. Oh my God, that's tomorrow. Make sure you sign up. Space is limited. We'll be back after this. Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
I can't believe I'm really about to ask this question. Can't believe that this is where we want to go after major news and a major announcement. But here we are, and so I am just going to do my journalistic duty and ask the question. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Janae.
Wait, before we even get to your question, do you understand the significance of the song that we're playing coming in?
Well, I understand the significance of the song because as we're getting ready to tell you that Julian Edelman has announced his retirement from the New England Patriots, this was the song that Tom Brady would commonly use in Instagram videos with Rob Gronkowski,
yep,
with his former Patriot teammate,
well done, Junior,
after big-time wins in Tampa Bay. Some might wonder if this is even going to be the end for Julian Edelman, who could follow the playbook of one Rob Gronkowski, retire for a year, get right, get the body back in working order, and then realize his quarterback, Tom Brady, is going to be playing football forever and maybe go join him in Tampa. But today, here was Julian Edelman's retirement announcement courtesy of his Instagram page just a little bit ago.
Nothing in my career has ever come easy. And no surprise, this isn't going to be easy either. Now, I've always said, I'm going to go until the wheels come off. And they finally have fallen off. Due to an injury last year, I'll be making my official announcement of my retirement from football. It was a hard decision, but the right decision for me and my family. And I'm honored and so proud to be retiring a Patriot.
Janae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. So, Janae, I am legally bound by the sports talk radio gods to ask you the following question that has already lit my timeline on fire. Is Julian Edelman a Hall of Famer? At Janae, at Mike Golic Jr., 888-729-3776.
Okay,
I can't believe we're doing this.
Before you give the answer, let's just provide a little bit of context because people, you know, he said it in his video, people don't know how far I've come. People forget. They see the three-time Super Bowl champ, the Super Bowl MVP. They forget. He went to the College of San Mateo. Then he transferred to Kent State University, 3-year starter at quarterback, and then obviously transitions to the league where he did not know what position he was. He was not invited to the 2009 NFL Combine, and then obviously like had a punt return or something like that, and then the rest was history that took off his receiver career. And so, yes, it's a story of a winner. But what's your answer, Junior?
No. No would be my short answer here, Chanae. And listen, he's accomplished a lot. Like Julian Edelman, I don't want this. This is why I don't want this discussion to be the one that takes over, because he's one of 7 wide receivers to ever be a Super Bowl MVP. Yes, he was only a one-time Pro Bowler, but he's 2nd in postseason receiving yards, 2nd in Patriots receptions behind only Wes Welker. But Chanae, in a sport that we know has such a difficult time already letting quality receivers into the Hall of Fame on time, a position that generally tends to get logjam at certain points, I think that there is an understood standard that Julian Edelman falls below in the spot. And we can make statistical analyses for all of this, but we usually kind of can talk about the Hall of Famers with this gut instinct. Can you tell the story of the NFL with or without this player? And I feel like you're going to have an easier time telling the story of the NFL in that way without Julian Edelman. He's a Patriots Ring of Honor guy. He's going to have so many other ways he is remembered by this sport. I just don't think the Hall of Fame is one of them.
My gosh, and he's going to make an excellent podcaster. We know that's coming.
That is true. That, you know what? That's the perfect year off activity for him to do before he heads down and joins the Buccaneers. Yep. It all makes sense. The timeline all lines up perfectly. So, in all seriousness, congratulations to Julian Edelman, because you and I talked about this.
Snaps.
This has to do a lot, I think, with the injuries he's dealt with here. He mentioned his body and the beating he's taken there. It's always tough for a player when it's not on your terms, when your body starts to dictate to you what you're going to be capable of going forward. And so, congratulations to Julian Edelman on making a very tough decision and for fueling what is likely 24 hours of very, very ferocious takes. Coming up next, we'll give you...
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.